This show is very not safe for work. The works being read do not represent the views of the hosts or guests. This show is a roast and should not be taken seriously.
Logan, look in shame bucket.
All right.
I was briefly browsing the Riff Trax shorts and found one that you might be interested in.
People soup.
Okay. Okay.
I mean...
Wow, the one right next to it is this.
Six murderous belief. Wow. Okay.
I feel like one of these leads the other.
And vice versa.
I like how my Pornhub link went unnoticed.
Since when am I a cannibal? Gotta eat.
The hunger. It's never ending.
As Logan says in the backlit shot as he stands over Steve-O's bed at dusk.
Crepe.
Coming to the Mayorhof for 37 weeks only. This summer, Night Horse Media brings you the sensational, groundbreaking new performance piece that is taking the world by storm. Cirque du Fanfiction, Mouthword Mysterio. This tantalizing spectacle will titillate all your sensory organs. You will be stunned from start to finish as your entire being is assaulted by the majesty of over 2 hours of combined high-flying acrobatic displays, acting out erotic fan literature as performers recite it. Featuring special guest Gritty, the Fort McMurray Fire, the Ouya, a damaged rice paddy, and the Royal Academy of Quebec Square Boobs dance team, Cirque du Fanfiction Mouthword Mysterio is an experience not to be missed. Get your tickets now at FridayNightFanFiction.com for the event of a lifetime.
Hey everyone, just a heads up, my mic had some pretty bad issues in this episode, so I had to go with our third tier backup. You might hear my voice change pitch and speed a little bit throughout the episode. Sorry about that, but hopefully it won't happen again, and if it's funny, just, you know, then think it was intentional. Oh, what?
Girl Midoriya is kind of cute.
Why is it an aw?
Like, oh, is it just because you absolutely despise the character?
No, he just wanted some big honkers to be slapped on her.
Some Bodon honkeros?
Would you be sexually attracted to a stop sign if it had big Bodon honkeros?
No.
Hang on, let's pull up a picture of a stop sign with giant tits and find out.
Oh, God.
For science!
Sure.
Let's go to Rule 34 and see how much porn is listed for stop signs.
This is Friday Night Fan Fiction. I am your host, Steve-O, joining me tonight as... This is what?
Goddamn bullshit is what this is.
This is goddamn bullshit is what it is. I am your host, Steve-O. Joining me tonight, as usual, are David, Logan...
Goddamn bullshit, David.
Do you have your goddamn bullshit hat on, Dave?
I sure don't.
Otherwise, you're kicked out of the club.
I don't want to get kicked out of the club, but I can't wear a hat with a headset on, so meh.
No. The correct answer is I'm not wearing a hat because hats are goddamn bullshit. You failed the test.
Damn.
Man, you failed the test. You stoog.
You're a stoog.
You stoop, stoog.
Sure.
So tonight, we're going to fly. We're going to get network errors.
Woo!
Oh, shit. Apparently our guest packed their microphone away and completely forgot.
Oops.
I guess we'll have to figure out a reschedule thing for Hipster. But anyways, this is goddamn bullshit. Valerie, why is everything goddamn bullshit?
I don't know. Ask David.
Let's start the other way around. Valerie, what do you think is goddamn bullshit?
Current politics.
Sean, what do you think is goddamn bullshit?
Current politics.
Logan. Say something other than politics.
The fact that I'm out of sandwich.
Okay. David, can you give Logan a sandwich?
No, but I can tell you what's goddamn bullshit.
I don't want to know that from you. I'm not interested.
Oh, okay.
What's goddamn bullshit, Dave?
Politics correntes?
I hate all of you. Let's just get started.
And it is me. Look at me right there with the video games.
Yes. Yes, that is you.
Everybody react with my face. Just react with my face to that picture because it's real good.
Where's Matt's face?
No, don't react with Matt's face. He's a bungle with that.
There, I'm reacting with Matt's face.
No, all he does is sit there and is like grumpy and stuff.
And don't... then special eyes.
Stop reacting with not my face. What's wrong with you? Follow instructions.
There's Carl on the corgi.
No!
Smashing.
Stop!
Niami face.
It started raining! John Madden!
And I'm gonna end up with Bill Paxton.
Oh well.
What's wrong with you people?
Are you gonna say that this is goddamn bullshit?
No, because it's funny. See, Politicus Currentus is not funny.
Currentus.
It's a real word.
In what language?
Fake.
Fake language, huh?
Fake language.
It's politics in Esperanto.
Esperanto sucks.
Yeah, it's a universal language that failed miserably. I think only William Shatner and like three other people know how to speak it.
I speak Esperanto. That's why I really like the books by that guy, dude who made the wizard books. Really funny guy.
Logan, you're starting us off with Spider-Man / Godzilla by Dirty Little Seacrest.
Hang on, I want to know what wizard books he means.
The Wizard of Oz or the novelization of the movie The Wizard starring Fred Savage?
No, the fucking Magic 2.0 guy.
Oh, shit.
Because they speak in Esperanto and Philip's like, Martin, I don't really care for you, though I am grumpy and old.
It's Scott Meyer.
Didn't we read this?
We tried to.
But that was the episode that got canned.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
Well, one of the many, many episodes that people will never, ever hear.
Does nobody like my impression of Philip from
I love your impression of Philip, Dave. I've told you that at least two times.
Dave, I don't know what that is, so I can't like your impression.
Okay, Logan, go to audible.com/FridayNightFanfiction for your free 30-day trial.
We do not have that sponsorship.
Magic 2.0 by Scott Meyer. There's 5 books in it. The first book is great. The second book is okay. The third book is pretty good. And the last 2 books are kind of meh. But the first book is awesome and you should read it.
You really didn't sell me on the series.
So, okay, Logan, here's the idea behind it.
Logan, if you read the book, I'll give you Korean barbecue.
Steve, shh. No, listen, Logan.
Hang on. Shut up, Dave. Steve's offering me free food.
Man, fucking, you can't win every argument with food, Steve.
With Logan, you absolutely can.
I can be bought. This is a known fact.
And there's our episode title, ladies and gentlemen. I can be bought.
Parentheses, Blue Apron, Amazon, Audible, what other fucking things? Chewy.com.
Yeah. Who wants to get me a Blue Apron subscription?
Casper Mattresses.
MeUndies. Oh, Loot Crate recently filed for bankruptcy, so how about that?
Was that Loot Crate or was that...
Loot Crate. Loot Crate recently filed for bankruptcy.
Let me post in Shamebook at what David said at some point.
It keeps my mind brilliant. I put 3 scoops of audiobooks in my morning bowl of Blue Apron nature boxes. It keeps my mind brilliant, and I am sure to pass my Great Courses Plus. Logan, if you could find a way to eat Great Courses Plus, that would be amazing. At night, when I am shaving to sleep, I open my fan crate and get this month's theme, Adam and Chewy Skillshare. You didn't mention Dollar Shave Club. Wow.
Yes, I shave.
That was when I'm shaving to sleep.
But that doesn't say what shaving club you're using.
Okay. I'm sorry.
All right, this is Spider-Man X Godzilla. Summary, 2 lovers engage in a journey that goes beyond the spectrum of humanity. Chapter 1, A New Hope. Act 1, Spider-Man's spidey senses aren't the only things tingling.
Woo.
Chapter 1, A New Hope.
Oh no, I've sat on my hand and now it's asleep.
Why?
You ever do that thing where you sit on your arm until it's completely asleep before you jack off?
No.
Yeah, we had this discussion, we haven't done it. Go back to season 8, episode 12 to listen to the riveting discussion. I think it's about 42 minutes in.
Something like that.
Is it actually that episode?
Hell no, I don't fucking know. Who do you think I am, Sean?
Sean, this is supposed to be your job.
What?
Sean, Mr. Encyclopedia of FNF, what episode do we talk about sitting on our hands to do the stranger and none of us admit to doing it?
I don't remember. Was that Naked Opinions?
Hold on. I'm going to go on the record and say I didn't not admit to doing it. I am just not somebody who would do that. I'm just like, this is dumb.
The way you said not admit to doing it, Steve-O, makes it sound like you're the one who didn't not admit to doing it.
Just read the damn story.
Oh, Steve, I found the gif for you.
Is it Steve-O doing the stranger?
No, but I'm going to post it in Shame Bucket, even though it's kind of not safe for work.
Well, why would you post it in the Shame Bucket then?
Because it doesn't actually show anything.
Oh, that's perfectly safe for work. That's fine.
Yeah, but booby missiles.
Yes, that's still safe for work. That would be shown on fucking PBS.
I don't know. I don't know that I'd show this to my boss at work.
No.
The public boob system.
I want Arthur to have this on there. The counterbalance the fact that Mr. Ratburn got gay married, which is totally fine. I'm super happy for him, and I hope he has a great life. They're like, next episode, Arthur discovers booby missiles.
Unfortunately, David, you just ruined your own headcanon because you know who was in that entourage of cars? That was Mr. Ratburn on the way to this fucking church to get married.
Why would you say that? Why would you ruin Mr. Ratburn's life with explosive booby magic?
There's another episode title. Logan, please read before we get too tangented.
I don't know. I'm having fun. All right. It was dark. Darker than the finest sex organ of the African American, which was something Godzilla was used to. All right.
Okay.
Yeah?
Godzilla had forgotten once again to play the electricity bill.
Hey.
Pay the electricity bill for his renovated volcano.
I mean, at this point, just like millennials, you can try to pray it away because there's not much you can do.
Which he renovated into a sex volcano. As he wandered through his dark, rock-hard home, he grew all the more horny. Godzilla was a horny fucking bastard. And he needed to find a way to fuel his cock meter back to full.
Oh, wonderful. Here we go. Urban Dictionary. Love volcano. A sexual position which requires some setup.
All right.
First, ejaculate into your lover's anus. Then take a straw and blow smoke up their rectum.
Oh, boy.
Finally, your lover begins to squeeze their belly so they make the smoke puff out. And the semen flows out like lava from a volcano.
Sure.
So at what point does pleasure happen?
Pleasure already happened.
Oh, because of the ejaculation? Okay, at what point does mutual pleasure happen?
Hell no.
Now, some may ask why Godzilla lived in a sex volcano in the first place.
Why did Godzilla live in a sex volcano in the first place?
No, shut up!
Well, if you let me read, I might be able to tell you. But who knows? I don't know.
I know, right?
Was it due to institutionalized racism targeting towards the hardworking lizard people?
Is it the ones that run our government? Is that what they're saying? It's racism towards them?
Yeah.
Come on, Logan. Lizard people, really? You don't know that conspiracy theory?
Oh, no. I just also know that that's like weird dog whistling against Jewish people.
Uh-oh, did my internet just die?
No,
we hear you.
Yeah, my internet died. Sorry.
That's okay. And as somebody who used to be of the Jewish faith, I'm fine with lizard people running our government. I do not want to discriminate against them.
Well, if the lizard people are better than the current government, then go for it.
Did your internet die again?
No, I was just like, I came into the whole, I'm Jewish, so I'm okay with lizard people running the government. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense in any context ever.
Was it to fill a painful emptiness that clogged at Godzilla's heart that he believed could only be fueled with visions of lust and hopeless romanticism? No, it was because I wanted to write about Godzilla in a sex volcano. So fuck out and fuck you if you question my art. That makes perfect sense.
How does one fuck out?
I need a Venn diagram and at least 20 slides on PowerPoint.
Show me
explain
where
it.
Clintons and Einstein live on the fuck out Venn diagram, please. I need this in time cube visuals.
I can only provide it in time sphere visuals. I'm sorry.
Shit.
Oh no, Steve-O, it's when you fuck while you're on one of those desk rolling chairs and you go past the door.
It's like a soapbox racer of fucking.
Yes.
After wandering around aimlessly for 5 minutes and 26 seconds, he sat down on the couch, covered in semen, and decided to watch the local news on Channel 4.
Sure.
This is the moment in which he saw a headline that would rock his world. And penis. The Andrew Garfield Spider-Man saves the city once more.
Did Steve Rudzinski write this? He's the only one I know that likes Andrew Garfield Spider-Man.
That's not true.
I don't actually hate Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. I just don't like those movies.
I'm just okay with them.
Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man is an actual believable Peter Parker. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Tobey Maguire with his, like, gross man tits was like, ugh.
And that I just farted and you're going to smell it in a second face.
Yeah. Then Tom Holland's a very good Spider-Man as well, but I feel like he's not a good Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Peter Parker is supposed to be doofy enough to be like, I don't look appealing to anybody, but whatever, I'm a nerd, who cares?
Logan, what's your opinion on this?
Yeah, Logan, what is your opinion on this? Hit us with the hard, cold Logan facts.
Pizza time.
What is going on?
It's a Spider-Man 2 pizza theme. You've never heard the Spider-Man 2 pizza theme?
Unfortunately, you keep telling me about this, and the last time you looked, which I think was 2 years ago, the video had been removed from YouTube.
No!
Steve, jeez, come on, dude.
It's definitely still there.
All right, we'll find it, and I'll watch it, maybe.
I'm doing it right now.
We're getting through a lot of content tonight. David, you sent me something that is a hot cat lady, unequivocally not Tobey Maguire pizza time.
All right, I sent you pizza theme.
Let's Google this. Hot Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Whatever Logan's about to read is going to have the Spider-Man 2 pizza theme right behind it, okay?
Oh, I'm so fucking glad. Godzilla breathed heavily. Imagine if he, the mother-hecking Godzilla trademark, had the opportunity to pound Spider-Man's soft, tiny little butt. He grew a raging boner, the biggest in decades, and the sheer force of the turn-on erupted the sex volcano, appropriately close to New York City, New York. The resulting chaos would force Spider-Man to investigate the source of the disaster. This way, he wouldn't have to go to Spider-Man. Spider-Man would come to him.
This is the weirdest circus I've been to. What the hell?
Godzilla watched from the top of the volcano, his cock cooled by the winds, and waited ever so erotically for Spider-Man to appear. He had on his favorite lingerie with thigh-high socks and coconut cream pie-scented perfume. After approximately...
It just keeps getting faster! Why?
After
Why?
Approximately 2.5 hours, he appeared. The Spider-Man. Godzilla rushed down towards the action, the pain of the lava beneath his feet only fueling his masochistic desire to fuck. Spider-Man quickly took notice and pulled out a growth serum he had been saving for this moment since fourth grade, breaking the vial upon himself.
The song just crashed. I can't deal with it anymore, Logan. I'm sorry. I can't do it.
Like, doesn't the dismount of that song, isn't it perfect?
The song melts and then, like...
Spider-Man 2 needs to be every porno pizza time theme. I love it. I'm sorry, Logan. So sorry.
You're welcome, Steve.
The audio engineer in me has died multiple times in the last minute and a half.
You're welcome. Spider-Man, his mask, and his polka-dotted briefs were the only thing that grew as his body was bigified by 100 times. That's right, fucking
100 times!
The sheer sight of Spider-Man's rock-hard mega abs and dick cleavage was enough to make Godzilla nearly come. every ounce of willpower had to be used to make sure Godzilla didn't blow his load too early. Spider-Man faced Godzilla and was suddenly struck with a flashback to his innocent and youthful days. He saw his grandfather speaking to him.
Now, Peter Parker.
Later.
My beloved.
Later.
Sweet grandson. Remember.
Yeah.
With great power.
Power.
Comes a massive, girthy penis.
Mass.
If Godzilla were ever want to fuck your brains out, you have to take responsibility and give him what he wants. My fanfiction depends on it. And also, if you ever need some practice for when that day comes, well, I can give you a couple dips.
Dips.
Winky face.
Not a mean.
Next up is David.
All right, Steve, for mine, can you play that but backwards? So it gets slower as it goes on.
I am going to go to many great lengths to make this happen for you, David. You'll never fucking hear it.
You don't know me.
No, I know you. You said you haven't listened to anything since like season 4.
I mean, yeah.
I'm glad that I now know that you can't stand Spider-Man 2 pizza theme.
I didn't say I can't stand it. I just said it killed me.
I will eventually work together the perfect song of that one sound from The Hunger.
Which is the entire album.
And Spider-Man 2 pizza theme to create the most perfect anti-Estevo song.
Spider-Man knew what he had to do. This was for his grandfather. And most importantly, for the fan. Sight Godzilla in a slutty lizard outfit. It was only getting Spider-Man harder and harder.
Wait, hang on a sec. Uncle Ben wasn't his grandpa.
No, but Ben Reilly was his grandpa.
Who's that?
His clone?
No, Ben Reilly is the name of his grandfather as well as his clone.
Spider-Man is weird.
Spider-Man got really weird in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Okay, this soundtrack just sounds like your Walkman is the batteries in your Walkman are on its last fucking legs. It just gets slower and slower.
Awesome. So now you have to do for the rest of the episode a Paul Stretch version of the whole thing.
Why do you make me do things?
Because funny.
I'm not making you do it. You can say no.
You know he's gonna do it.
I'm not the contract holder.
Yeah. Yes, you? Oh, shit, I never sent out those contracts. I need to go do that now. Keep reading.
What?
All right, I've reached my limit. 5 minutes of the pizza theme is enough. Especially backwards. I'm done. What prize do I win? Am I in the Guinness yet?
You can get cake.
I'm not reading until you keep it going.
Okay, click.
You gave Logan an entire page of pizza time. Why can't I have an entire page of pizza time?
I stopped him after a minute and a half.
Yeah, an entire page of minute and a half pizza time.
Just read.
Okay. Pretty soon, his already impossibly tight little undies would burst, revealing his cock to Mr. Zill. Wait, isn't, according to Matthew Broderick, Godzilla a female?
Yeah, but we don't go by the 1999 canon.
It was 98.
Whatever.
But he was ready. His grandfather had trained him well for this moment, and Godzilla's primal instinct had evolved for billions of years in preparation for this single instance. The two, ready as they'd ever be, went low, sprung through the air, and embraced.
Chapter 2! Chapter 2! Dirtier Dancing!
Chapter 2! Dirtier Dancing! Right before the embrace could be completed, however, an explosion blasted off in the distance. Large enough meow, meow. To distract meow, both Godzilla meow, and Spider-Man. Meow. It was Dr. Octopussy who had surgically connected 8 realistic fleshlights onto the end. The end of his cold robotic arms.
Spider-Man, wait!
Octopussy cried out.
Spider-Man has only one penis and it's only for me, said Godzilla.
I thought he was just going to keep going.
Octopussy cried out sexually.
Don't fuck Godzilla. I have 8 flashlights attached to my arms. 8! Do you know what that means? It means I can fuck you 8 times at once. Take me instead.
But Spider-Man only has 1 penis, and it's only for me.
Godzilla cried out an objection. In response, the Octopussy laughed. The laughiest of laughs. Grabbed a gun from his gun holster and shot Spider-Man 7 times right in the dick. Your move, creep. 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 All right, Steven, put a gunshot at every one of those your move creeps.
He's going to put anything but a gunshot.
You told me that I could say no, so I'm saying no.
This is the one you can't say no to.
No, no, no. So, Steve, what you do is cut out 6 of those your move creeps and then do it just once and then just replicate it.
No.
Oh, no. I've got it. Here's what you do, Steve. You take all of them, but you edit it to where they're all kind of stacked on each other and it just becomes a garbled mess.
No.
Your move creep.
Anyway, just about to interject when suddenly the bulge in Spidey's pants grew all the more frisky. It looked as if a pack of slippery, non-electric eels had slid into his undergarments.
Oh no, it's Hercules the TXT all over again.
Yeah.
Bless my soul, spiders ran a row, hit a lot of dicks and they all did the slippy pole.
Soon and wet was an after effect from the penile creation gun trademark. Developed in...
Wait, you skipped a line.
Did I? Oh, I sure did, yeah.
Yeah.
Soon enough, his underwear burst open. I wonder, soon and wet, that's what I was wearing. Soon enough, his underwear burst open and 8 massive schlongs were revealed all veiny and wet as an after effect from the penile creation gun trademark. Developed in 1969 by Dr. Octopus during a stage of maddening depression. This meant Andrew Garfield, in all his bi curiosity, could not only get that good pussy, but all the while, Godzilla could pound his spidey senses from dust, or to dust. Dust from the back.
Woo!
But then more explosions happened. This time, it was an explosion not of fire, but of semen. As the dust and rubble slowly faded away, the cause of the explosion was revealed. It was Tobey Maguire.
Spider-Man!
He cried out, pointing both finger and penis at H. Longed, savior of the city.
How dare you hog my mans for yourself! I was the original!
Tobey Maguire turned to face Godzilla and, as quickly as it took my father to leave me as a child,
wow!
He ever so shyly winked. It was hot. Toby posed before screeching out his siren's call.
Can your Spider-Man do this?
Toby began to strut towards the trio. Okay, so he's doing the JoJo walk at this point. Dancing awkwardly.
Oh,
God, it was awkward, yet somehow arousing all the same. You couldn't believe how kinky it was, and Godzilla loved kinky things like Toby and his puppy face. Godzilla, mesmerized, began walking towards Toby, much to the dismay of Andrew Garfield. Andy shot Webb out of his 8 penises and grabbed Godzilla, reeling the lizard back towards him.
Beep,
Godzilla turned, spotted the webbing, and began to sob at the sight of a cock webbing.
Next up is Sean.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, Spidey, 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 Spider-Man.
You blew it already, Andrew? How could you?
He wailed to the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. Garfield took a finger and pressed it against Godzilla's beautiful reptilian lips and spoke.
Why is Garfield in this now?
I guess it's a crossover with Shakespeare Hemingway?
Yeah!
That's something I did not foresee happening, but nice.
Shh, babe. Every little thing's gonna be all right. I would never betray your love like that. The real fun's just about to begin. Spider-Man then began to grunt, and through sheer willpower alone, he forced all 8 of his dicks together, morphing them into one massively veined super penis. Godzilla's mouth began salivating at the sight. How yummy it looked to suck. Spidey was also growing cock thirsty and wanted to 69 Godzilla so gosh hard. He could only imagine Godzilla's scaled mouth wrapping around his penis, giving Spidey the most gentle of a massage. And Godzilla could only imagine the sucking Mr. Spidey would give him.
Mr. Spidey.
Give me the suck. I need that suck on my big rigid duck.
Is there such a... David, stop sending me things.
I'm not even doing that. What are you talking about?
Just the thought is enough to... Dear Lord, I almost came just typing that out. They had to watch out, though, for Octopussy and Toby weren't just going to let that shit fly. The two of them ran up towards the lovebirds, attempting to stop their selfish romance. And as they made their attempt to break them up, something really sexy happened instead.
Come on in, babe.
Hi, Judy.
Chapter 3. How I Met Your Mother.
All right, before you read that, I have an important document that you need to read instead, Sean.
All right.
Ooh, my.
No, it's my nose. Don't eat my nose.
You're not Sean, and that's not what's written.
Night Horse Media Contract. By signing the contract...
This.
You agree to the following.
This contract.
Yeah, by signing this contract, you agree to the following. Stephen Bortz now has the power of attorney.
Now have. I don't know that this is a legally binding document.
It's not.
Just read. It says it is.
No, it's not.
In exchange, you also grant him the power to edit you to sound potentially terrible and embarrassing.
That's a bad exchange.
To not disseminate and private material in staff chat, especially how much we make fun of furries. Yes, even David makes fun of them.
We don't do that.
I make fun of furries. It's pretty sad.
Making fun of yourself is sad.
No. I don't make fun of myself. I make fun of furries. There's a difference.
David?
I have some very bad news for you.
Right, but I don't make fun of me. I make fun of other furries.
The self-exclusionary clause. I'll need to add that in the 2020 reversion.
Reversion?
Man, we got 2020 contract. This is a 3-year contract, homie. Guaranteed salary. I'm Hulk Hogan.
David, you obviously haven't read it. It's not a 3-year contract.
You can be fed once every 2 weeks. Any food you may have outside of that is to be surrendered immediately.
To me.
Okay, so each 2 weeks, I'm just eating all the time.
You're not seizing my means of production.
No horn.
Only one.
What if I get multiple?
Then you're fine.
Okay.
Pizza time.
Is this what you were doing instead of running the pizza time song backwards, Steve?
Rizza time. Wait, no, that's pizza time.
Yeah.
Corporate Steve is allowed to crash on your couch either three Tuesdays and one Wednesday, or six Thursdays in the months of either September or November.
I'll take the second option.
Steve, you don't have the balls to come visit me in Florida.
This contract is viable in all countries, past, present, and future, and will be legally enforceable until either the heat death of the universe or the time sphere is proven to be real, whichever comes first.
No, they're dashes.
Whatever.
Your name here!
All right, you may continue reading chapter 3 now. Thank you.
Chapter 3, How I Met Your Mother.
Steve-O, I want more cake and more coffee.
You have cake?
And more cowbell.
Yeah, I made cake yesterday. With mascarpone whipped cream, the kind of whipped cream they put in tiramisu.
Val, aren't you closer to the kitchen than Steve-O is?
Yes.
Why don't you just go get it then?
Because I already had one.
But you can make him get up and walk to the kitchen to get it for her.
I'll get up if you ring!
Wait, I thought Sean was reading.
Yes, almost as if by...
He already got up, so you can just wait.
I could.
Go!
I mean, Steve-O won't know the difference.
He'll know eventually.
Exactly.
Are we just killing time because we know there's a guest not coming on?
No.
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, that's not why we're doing it, but sure. Sure.
It's just coincidence.
Yeah.
We would still be doing this even if someone was coming.
I do have a fork, baby.
Good for you!
Almost as if by forces outside the reach of man, rather than fight, all four of our erotic heroes mindlessly began fucking one another, and a massive sex orgy took place right there, smack dab in the middle of the city. Octopussy's fleshlights were dancing about in the downpour of rain that had suddenly formed. Each drop that splashed upon them as pearly white as a dollop of semen.
There was probably semen.
The four of them were in a constant wrestle, each attempting to find anything to grip on. It was all in vain, however, for Godzilla was hogging all the penis.
Cream fell off the top, so I just smothered it.
What? He just smushed a fucking cake! What the fuck?
Seizing an opportunity, Toby crawled ever so devilishly towards Octopussy and whispered in his nose, "Do not be afraid, my beloved Octopussy. I know of your love for Andrew Garfield, even though you never appeared in any single one of his movies. I know you love him with deepest of passion. Always remember, though, that there's more than just one Spider-Man. If you fuck me, be betraying your love at all. In fact, I am the original. If you fuck me, it would be like fucking a piece of art."
I came back at a good time.
Like penetrating Mona Lisa herself.
That's an expensive penetration. I think the Louvre is going to fine you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They'll see how much it improves the painting, and they'll actually pay you.
Where's that fucking repainted picture of Jesus? That was You know the one I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one that looks like kind of like a weird smudge monkey.
Yeah. Yep. Found it. Oh, yeah.
Let me be your Picasso and allow me to spread my brush upon your canvas.
I would not want to be painted by Picasso.
While listening to this section of the episode, just spend the entire time staring at terribly restored Jesus painting.
Why?
And so Toby took his cock and soaked it with yellow paint. He brought his face closer to Octopussy's cold, wet abs and let his warm breath stimulate the doctor's senses, all while trailing the doctor's curves with his little fingers. He asked rhetorically, "I wonder what I can paint today." He stood up, grabbing his penis as if it were an oversized pencil, and rubbed his tip again across Octopussy's chest, drawing a heart with the initials O and T inside of it, which stood for Octopussy and Toby, in case you're fucking stupid. Afterwards, Toby looked at Octopussy, who smiled in agreement at the beautiful arts.
Val, you're up.
"Now I'll show you a through starry night, babe."
Toby spoke gently. Oh.
It's okay, I'm already hot. You don't need to go back and revise it.
Wait, since when did you set up the hot tub?
No, I'm just like, I have a fever.
Well, the only cure is more cowbell.
Somebody was gonna do it.
You damn right they were.
The rain already washing away his creation.
"But Toby, it's 2 p.m. Pacific time. How will you show me a night of stars?"
"Just close your eyes, my darling," Toby murmured, "and the stars will come to you."
Wabam.
Octopussy closed his eyes and then, exactly 2 seconds later, felt stars. Every one of his fleshlights buzzed with the biggest shuddering orgasms in their lives. I didn't know fleshlight could orgasm. He couldn't figure out how, but all 8 were humming with life, and so was Octopussy. Octopussy didn't even have a real vagina, yet he felt more of a woman than he ever had in his entire life. That's not, like, you don't have to have a vagina to feel like a woman.
Nope.
Ta-ta-da-da-da-da-da.
Creepers.
No, I was doing the Shania Twain.
I don't listen to rap.
It didn't even feel like it was on the ground anymore. It felt as if he were a comet flying away from a life itself as he let his love overtake his humanity. Toby took his arms and wrapped them around Octopus's waist, as in dump waste, and licked his neck as if it were dry and needed water, like a plant. Usually you don't want to lick your plant to hydrate them. You want to, you know, water them.
What do you want, Chalmers?
Barf.
He wants to go out.
He wants to destroy the fence again.
That's what he does when he's bored. The initial contact was enough to make the doctor's whole body quake, and at that moment, no in the world would ever matter as much to him as Toby did.
"Open your eyes, my love,"
Toby spoke, as gentle as a light breeze on a hot summer day. Octopussy opened them and then saw not only Toby, but the world, Earth itself, before him. They truly were in space. They were the starry night Toby had promised. He and Toby would forever imprint the universe with their love, and this love would shine brighter than any star in the night sky. As they ran out of oxygen...
Well then.
The two close mouths and breathe into one another, saliva dripping from mouth to mouth as their embrace grew stronger and stronger. With each passing exchange, though, more and more air fled from their lungs, yet they grew none the weaker. It was as if they were being propelled by forces stronger than human comprehension, and even if their minds were to fade with death, they would never let go of their embrace for as long as mankind could find love, hello Chalmers, for as long as time itself would withstand, they would love another, and this love was perfect.
Or maybe this was just the last fleeting electrons and synapses firing in their brains, as they did indeed die of oxygen deprivation.
Chapter 4. American Idol. Four. American Idol.
Yes, someone... Whose fucking cell phone went off? Silence that shit.
I did. Sorry.
It's okay.
Back on Earth, Spider-Man and Godzilla were doing hard sexual things to each other.
Hot!
All the while, the aura of hotness that was radiating from their warm, steamy bodies was affecting all the citizens of the city. Everyone had become overwhelmed with the horny desire to fuck that random acts of intercourse were taking place in every place imaginable. It was occurring on the rooftops, in the middle of the streets and stores, in the parks and alleyways.
It's like a ticker tape parade, only with semen.
Yeah. Everyone was having sex. It was the single largest orgasm to ever occur in the history of humankind, and with it came the greatest baby boom in American history. Sean, please, move your cursor.
What?
Move your cursor. Sean, move your stupid-ass cursor. I'm reading this garbage. Sean.
What? My cursor's not there.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
100% is right there.
It says Sean Lawler.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
As he highlights the whole paragraph. What are you doing?
And then you moved it right back where it was.
Move it up, away. Go to page one.
Just get away from that chapter because I'm reading that part.
Just click somewhere else.
Thank you. Steve-O! Thank you. Hell, I bet your stupid ass reading this garbage was conceived that day. Godzilla, meanwhile, was continuously slopping on delicious, sticky spider-mega penis, and Spider-Man was gobbling on giant lizard cock.
Nom, 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 nom.
It was even better than the dragon dildos he practiced on every night when feeling lonely. That's when he was reminded of something he's always wanted to do since he was a little fuckboy. Hey, Zilly, you want to, I don't know, try something?
No, not interested in new things. They scare me. David, since you gotta go, you're gonna read the last half page.
Excellent. So, Godzilla was like, well, we don't want to try anything, so that's the end of the story. I'm going to bed. Good night, everybody!
No! No! Come back.
Oh, damn it. Godzilla had to take his mouth off penis before responding. Godzilla noises, you want to try anal.
David, read this as if you're a European pickup artist.
Godzilla started sweating even more than he was from the sex.
Can you get closer to the mic and move it down like maybe half an octave?
Godzilla started sweating even more than he was from the sex. Because of this, half of New York City was flooded in sweat.
Sploosh.
And hundreds of thousands of people drowned. As soon as he had the opportunity to see Spider-Man in the flesh, the reason he came to New York City in the first place hadn't even crossed his mind. To fuck the shit out of Spider-Man's asshole.
Very effective.
Suddenly, in sheer surprise and anxiety, Godzilla blew his load into Spider-Man's wide open mouth, coughing away the massive amount of baby gravy. Spider-Man had only enough energy to ask one simple question. Baby cakes. You see, I have to put on a different voice for it, so that way it engages our audience and makes it seem like there are multiple points of view.
I understand what you're trying to say to
me,
Eduardo.
Mock me, sir.
I'm not mocking you, Eduardo.
You are mocking me.
I am not. No, I am your half-brother.
Steve, your bad attempt at this accent is really grating on the ears.
Good.
No, it's quite good. I am actually okay with the idea that he is Eduardo. Brother of Eduardo.
Eduardo?
You heard me. I said Eduardo.
He is Eduardo, Eduardo. I'm Eduardo, Eduardo.
Wait, did you just Mario us?
Yeah.
You monster.
Yeah.
Godzilla started sweating even more,
And with that, the other half of the city ended up drowning as well. He went pale. He tried shaking his sausage, but nothing. Not even a drop of sauce would trickle out. With the last burst of his, Godzilla's prostate had erupted, and he was out of calm entirely. Spider-Man only had to take one look to realize what had happened. He and Godzilla knew that there was only one way to get out of this mess. A giant video game tournament.
Yes!
The prize? A brand spanking new prostate. In order to achieve the greatest orgasm ever allowed by God, Spider-Man and Godzilla would have to beat.
Would have beat.
Would have beat Sword Art Online.
Thank you, Eduardo.
You're welcome, Eduardo.
This fall on CBS, Eduardo and Eduardo. No, our theme song is definitely Pizza Time from Spider-Man 2.
Oh.
Just mash up both of them.
They live in New York City and they live together with each other. They are brothers. And they don't want to live together because they hate each other. That's the conflict of the show right there summarized. Listen to it. Watch it. CBS is paying lots of marketing. Viacom wants your dollars. Rate is good. We need your fucking money. Give us a fuck right now.
David, thank you for joining us. You can go to bed.
Go to bed.
And I guess we'll stay live because no guests. It's okay. Next up is The Bread of Love is the Bread of Life by I Detest Tragedy. And I will be reading because I haven't had a chance yet. Con Murray.
Once you have to take all the freaking attention.
Con Murray, what are you making?
I'm making Yowie cookies.
What a strange name. They look nice, though. Will you teach me how to make them?
Nice, though.
Chapter one, The Bread of Love is the Bread of Life. Part one.
What is this?
Ever heard of Yakitate Japan? Oh, no, you hate anime.
It sounds familiar, but yeah, I do hate anime, so.
It's the bread thing.
So you'd be interested because it's bread.
Bread's nice, I guess.
They teach you how to make it. Oh. And it's 96 episodes of learning how to make different bread.
That sounds like too many episodes about making bread.
There's a lot of different...
Do they teach you like a different bread recipe every time?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, the face! All right, I need to get back to reading about Yowie cookie. Yowie cookie recipe. That evening, the shop was closed and all of Pantasia's southern branch staff had left, except for Kanmuri Shigeru, who was still experimenting with his dough in the kitchen. The genius was in the process of creating a new type of bread for White Day promotion. If I didn't know that White Day was an actual thing, thanks to that awfully shitty horror game you showed me, Logan, I would be offended. White Day is the day when the janitors beat you up, right?
No. This is when the janitor chases you down and kills you in school.
So devoted in his work was he that he failed to notice when the door clicked open, revealing Azuma Kazuma. Kanmuri nearly jumped at Azuma's greeting. However, his colleague quickly apologized for startling him. He also explained the reason for his return. He had left behind his apartment key in the cloakroom. I want a fucking cloakroom. That sounds snazzy.
Section off part of your mudroom.
Val, do we have a mudroom?
Yes. It's where the freaking laundry machine is.
All right. From henceforth, the bathroom and the laundry room will now be the cloakroom. I don't know where we're going to put the toilet, though.
Well, doesn't matter since there's no Stargate on it.
Yeah.
All right, fine. You know what I'm going to do instead? I'm going to put a fucking pizza top on the goddamn toilet, and I'm going to make the thing do the Pizza Time music. Okay?
I don't see how this is a punishment for me.
He's going to sit in the bathroom flushing the toilet for 20 minutes.
No, it lasts an hour, though.
Where was I? By the way, what are you making, Kanmuri? Azuma asked after he pocketed the key. To be honest, the genius still had not made any specific plan about what to make. He only got the general idea that it would be something involving white chocolate with cookie-like texture. However, something else now flickered in his mind. There, as he saw his colleague, red on the nose and cheeks from the frosty air outside, with speckles of snow remaining on his hair and jacket, He was seized by a sudden desire to vomit. I mean, to kiss the brown-haired youth. In fact, actually, this was not the first time he felt so. After getting to know Azuma better through Yakitate 9 and their daily co-working routine in the bakery, he grew fond of the brunette. Very fond indeed. More than he ought to. More than just a colleague, friend, or comrade. He was well aware that this feeling had nothing to do with brotherhood either. He had been pondering on the subject for months. He used to think he had not been gay. He did not find females disgusting. Parentheses, at least if anyone should ever ask him to touch female breasts, he doubted he was going to puke. If you puke by touching breasts, male or female, then you might just be allergic to boobs, which is not a thing.
No, because then he would be allergic to human. It's like Milhouse being allergic to his own tears.
I'm allergic to breasts. The first time I get a tit job, my penis exploded. Okay, where was I? Brotherhood.
Tits.
Yes. But to live under the same roof with a girl and share his bed with her, waking up seeing her face every morning, this was when the visualization of Yukino would invade his mind and Kanmuri shuddered at the very thought. Not all females are nasty. Think of Tsukino, for example. Yeah, she's pretty and all. She's pretty and kind, all right. Do I even want to kiss her? No. But I wouldn't want to kiss the Afro manager, Mushroom Head, Kawachi-san, or Kurianagi-senpai either. It had to be Azuma Kazuma. He was not gay. He was simply Kazumaholic.
Sure.
That settled it. He'd better be quick at approaching the boy of his dream. Tsukino always eyed the caramel-orbed boy. Oh no, my eyes are made of Werther's.
They're the snack that everyone likes? Question mark?
I don't know.
Sean, do you like Werther's?
Yeah, I like Werther's.
Logan?
Yeah, but they hurt my teeth.
You're supposed to let them melt.
Val?
Yeah, I'm okay with Werther's.
Yeah, they still hurt your teeth if you let them melt.
So do sugar babies and sugar daddies.
Yes.
And milk duds.
Yes, yes. All caramel candy basically will hurt your teeth.
Do you think anything that hurts your teeth is made out of razor blades, though?
No, it's made out of caramel.
Steve-O, your teeth and the roof of your mouth are not the same.
Cereal that shreds the inside of your mouth is made of razor blades.
I'm gonna need like a PowerPoint presentation from you at some point describing to me the various ways food can injure one's mouth.
I just don't know what's so hard for you to understand.
There's a lot that I don't understand, but that's why you're my friend and you show me things like that porno.
Which porno have I shown you?
Was it not you that showed me? No, it was somebody else. Never mind.
No, that'd be weird.
What? You showing me porno?
No, for like anyone to show like a friend porno. That'd be kind of weird.
I mean, I've shown people porno when I find somebody that looks like them.
Of course there's an anime about this.
About the specific scenario we're talking about?
No, about a guy being allergic to women.
There's gotta be an anime where the main character just shows progressively all of the friends that he has pornography that he finds that looks like those specific people, and by the end of the anime, he has no friends left. I like this. I'm gonna write this out. Caramel orbed boy with such a longing that could not be justified as appropriate for an employer toward her employee. She had even made her move. 10 days before, she had given every staff Valentine chocolate, but the one for Azuma had been special. It was done most meticulously with utmost care, with the finest selection of ingredients. I'm getting a little bored with this. Might move on. With countless hours of cooking experiments, the other ones, on the contrary, were bought.
You're the one who picked it!
Yes, I didn't read it! We pick it because we think it might be good.
It's also 16 pages long.
Like, you're supposed to, like, skim it to see.
Why did you boo-box your wife?
Why did I? No. Logan, are you putting me in the doghouse?
What doghouse? I didn't build you a doghouse, I built you a dog fence.
There. Now we have a doghouse.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Let me put you in the doghouse.
Too late. Great. Just go in there and it's just pizza time, but with woofing.
Now you have to do that.
You know, I'm just going to fucking skip to the owie stuff. Thank you. Nope, just kissing. First kiss. Oh, here we go. It didn't take a Harvard genius to guess what Azuma was going to do on him afterwards. The questions were how. Gentle, rough, or somewhere between them. As well as for how long. The only thing Kanmori could think of when Azuma's tongue was exploring his chocolate sauce-covered body was that he wished he had been born as a chocolate cake if it meant he could feel Azuma's tongue again and again. That's weird! That's strange!
You're right, we should stop reading this.
After finishing with the torso, Azuma's lecherous quest continued downwards. He knelt and spread Kanmori's legs not too far apart so that his head could fit perfectly when he emerged between his the other baker's and her thighs from below.
Sure!
Indulging himself in the full view of Kanmori's crotch. Azuma took his time brushing his lips against the soft skin of Kanmori's thighs before teasing his lover's twin balls. Gently he cupped, squeezed, licked, and nibbled them. Kanmori grabbed the now empty jug hard. He did not seek for more chocolate sauce. He was merely desperate for anything he could hold on. He did not know how to deal with the intoxication when Azuma's mouth enveloped his manhood, while one of his hands straddled his thigh and his other hand slipped through the gluteal folds, preparing his hole.
That is a way of saying the butt crack?
No. The gluteal fold is where your gluteus maximus feeds into your calf muscle.
Oh.
That's your gluteal fold.
So he's going through the front.
No. What? No, it's the where, so your ass muscle sits on top of your thigh muscle. So when you're like standing or at an incline, it, you know, hangs down.
Oh, it's the fucking thigh gap.
No, again, it's not your thigh gap. It's not in between your legs. It's the back of your leg.
I'm looking at a picture. Okay. So it's next to the thigh gap. It's the next stop to thigh gap town.
Where the butt and the thigh meet.
Yeah, that's the thing I said the first time.
Yeah.
I'm still confused and I'm looking at a picture of it right now. But anyways, moving on to the next story. And we're going to start with Logan this time.
It's basically where your butt gets a shape. Like the nice little bottom curve where your fingers would grab.
Okay, that story is not happening. That's 23 pages of Beatles.
Wait, what kind of Beatles?
Big Bad Beetleborgs?
The band.
Yeah, the singing ones.
Oh, no thank you.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Unless it's Beatles and Preg, no thanks.
It is Beatles and Preg.
It's always Beatles and Preg.
Speaking of Olive Garden, Steve,
Wait, what?
For an early Christmas present, do you want to get me the lifetime supply of pasta at Olive Garden?
This is the first time I've heard of this.
Is this RoboCop? Why is it Creep?
It's Shovel Knight.
I was making a joke!
Only 50. No, I'm not disabling my ad blocker to read about the fucking Lifetime Pasta Pass, thank you.
Please give me the Lifetime Pasta Pass. Everyone donate $500 to the Patreon so I can get a Lifetime Pasta Pass.
For a half hour or if those who want to upgrade, both passes are on. How do I get it? Like, where's the waiting line?
I don't know. That's for you to figure out for my gift.
No, you figure out the gift.
Yeah, you tell me how to figure out the gift.
No, I already told you how to do it.
No, you didn't.
Give me the pasta.
I will get you the pasta if I can figure out where I can buy it from. It's only $100. $100 for your infinite love forever until the heat death of the universe is worthwhile.
What about my love?
All right, go ahead and start reading.
What am I reading?
You're reading Creep.
Creep.
Your move.
All right, I don't know shit about Shovel Knight.
He's a knight with a shovel.
Oh, wait, I didn't actually add the page breaks. Hold on.
God damn it. Maybe it's not so wrong to get away with a little self-indulgence every once in a while. Chapter 1. Creep. Actors and
hacking. No, that's a good start.
He's already eating the pasta. He's imagining eating it.
The pasta pasta?
Oh, the pasta. Accidents happen. Creep.
Creep.
Creep. It had been a long night at the Potionarium. As always, since all the plague minions had clocked out for the day long ago, and with the considerable lack of brash whining from Percy, the atmosphere dramatically changed from that of a bustling evil underground laboratory to that of a more tranquil, peaceful evil underground laboratory. Creep. Oftentimes, Plague Knight and Mona were the last ones to leave, as they'd get far too caught up in finishing the mixture for a potion that they couldn't dare leave until the next day. Creep.
Writing is hard.
Okay, I figured this out. There's an online waiting room, apparently, and they recommend that you show up early. It's at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Am I hearing a time commitment?
What, me? Oh, no, if I get it, I'm going to fucking keep it, asshole.
No.
Do you work tomorrow afternoon?
I actually do not.
So how about this? Both of us will get one, and if one of us gets it, we'll just split the meal between us.
I don't think that's how it works.
I don't know that's how it works. Is this a transferable pass?
No, but you can sit next to me and eat my food.
I don't think it works like that, bud. I imagine they have an Olive Garden employee staring at you the entire time to make sure you don't do shit like that. And if you try, they, like, pull out a laser gun and shoot you and destroy your infinite pasta pass.
I will make this commitment to you. If the never-ending pasta pass happens, I will gift it to you.
Ooh.
But there will be stipulations for this.
What are the stipulations?
I haven't thought of them yet. Definitely the corporate Steve crashing on your couch 3 Tuesdays and 1 Wednesday every month.
No. I want to go with the second option. The one that has months that don't exist.
What about you guys' cooking show?
Oh, so every episode of the cooking show is just going to be just Logan and Olive Garden?
Yes.
I mean, sure.
All right. Go ahead and read about Creep. God damn it.
All right.
Creep.
Your read, Creep.
And so they tended to work long hours into the night together, sometimes not even exchanging as much as a word to each other for hours on end, silently appreciating the other's company for what it was. Creep.
Are you just interjecting creep wherever you feel like it?
No, at the end of every sentence.
Oh.
The stillness and quietness of the potionarium could only be broken by the soft bubbling of the concoction in the cauldron, or, in some cases, the loud, messy explosion accidentally caused by putting the wrong ingredient in at the wrong time.
Creep.
Although he wouldn't dare admit it to anyone, even if it killed him, it was during these moments that Plague Knight felt most relaxed and in tune with his surroundings. Standing there, working with the girl of his Mona, bonding over the warmth of the brew together, it was like a wonderful, unreal
tournament.
However, this time, it felt inexplicably different from all those other times.
Oh no!
What?
Not only can you not share the lifetime pasta pass, but you can't even change your name on it.
Oh. Wait, you can't gift it?
Nope.
Boo!
That sucks.
I just have to make a fake ID so that, yes, I can eat pasta at Steamo Boards.
Pass holders must present a photo ID along with the pass at the time of ordering.
Wow.
I'll just have a fake ID that has me with the mustache, and it's Steve-O Bort's 123 Fake Street.
Shit!
Shit. Where was I?
Oh, yes. Thinking about pasta.
He felt tense and nervous. Let me tell you the story about the... let me tell you about the one time I have ever eaten Olive Garden, and it was at your house.
Oh, shit, yeah.
We went and we got Olive Garden to go, because we were, like, at your house recording or something. And I got, like, shrimp scampi or some shit. And as I'm wont to do, if a shrimp is properly cooked, you should be able to just eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I do that. And it sliced the inside of my throat so badly that it got infected and I developed, like, a serious throat infection.
Jeez.
But not an ulcer.
To be honest, based on the fact that I have, like, similar pains to what I've had basically my entire life, and the fact that I now confirm to have ulcers, I've probably had ulcers a very long time.
And it sliced them?
No, this was in my throat.
As long as it's not my fault that you are in constant pain, and that the pasta will also be painful for you.
I mean, it could be.
I'm not saying it's not entirely your fault that I'm in constant pain for my entire life.
Yet. I'm just gonna go cry, thanks.
You're welcome. He felt tense and nervous, at least more so than usual, and found himself having a lot of trouble concentrating on the task at hand. Spacing out like that wasn't like Plague Knight at all. Creep. He wasn't sure what had gotten into him. What he was sure of, however, is that that fateful night, his partner looked particularly radiant under the flickering of the candlelight.
They're in Chernobyl.
Oh, dear.
Ah, hello, Stalker.
The ethereal glow of the mixture in the cauldron, the way the light bounced off Mona's soft, feathery hair, her cute round cheeks, her dazzling deep blue eyes intently focused on the alchemy textbook in front of her. Even in the wee hours of the morning, she was a sight not unlike a goddess. In no time, Plague Knight found himself staring intently and, admittedly, really, really creepily. She turned her sights towards him, unusually cold and apathetic, but he could feel the uncharacteristic softness of her gaze fixed upon him. Rose petals began slowly raining down from the sky.
God damn it, this is not American fucking beauty!
As she blushed deeply and smiled warmly, sweet as nectar, she cooed. Steve-o, coo for me.
I was just cooing.
Coo for me.
Coo. I hope you're happy.
Could you get some katsu, Plaguey?
Now, this is the part where you turn off your plague vision goggles, and everybody, in reality, things were far different from what Plague Knight was imagining. Mona's unkempt, disheveled hair, from the lack of a good night's sleep for several days in a row, hung off her head in matted clumps, and her face was far from majestic either. The bags under her eyes pretty much had bags of their own. Regrettably, there weren't even any rose petals to be found, except safely hidden in the ingredient stocks. Saying she looked like a goddess in that moment would have been an insult to goddesses everywhere.
Okay, Sean.
Brow furrowed, barely breaking eye contact with the textbook in front of her. After rummaging through the barely organized pile of ingredients next to her, she lifted her bloodshot gaze to glance at the bird-masked fellow briefly and muttered, "Hey, Plague Knight, can you get me some cat's eye?"
"Hey, Plague Knight, could you give me some cat's eye?"
How he managed
to stop that anytime soon.
No. Ah! I'm gonna raise my whole next page like this.
You do not sound like somebody I ever want to associate with.
Sounds like you're gargling water.
That's so bad for you. You can't get rid of me now.
That's not even English.
It was perfect English.
How he managed to interpret all that so much more differently is beyond me. At first, it didn't register, and he simply seemed to melt in his spot, zoning out while staring lovingly in her general direction. Or just, staring in her general direction. In general, it's pretty hard to tell with that bird mask of his. As it turns out, Mona couldn't tell either. So, noticing the lack of a response, she waved her hand in front of her partner's eyes, then snapped her fingers to call him back to Earth. Luckily, it worked. And he jumped, startled.
What?
Yeah, Logan, lots of people can't fucking coo.
That's because you speak English.
Sounds like you're just choking yourself out.
That's the closest I can get.
Practice your French, Steve-o.
I can't roll my R's.
I was up until the moment you said that. Now I can't remember how to do it.
Got him.
I can sound like a vibrating bed. I guess that's something.
Hot.
Where was I? Plague Knight spluttered and stuttered unceremoniously before shaking his head from side to side to snap out of his trance. The other alchemist sighed and repeated herself more clearly. Cat's eye. She pointed at the drawer.
Cat's up?
Cat's eye?
Cat's eye.
Nice try.
Filed under C. Please go get it.
Why aren't you adding creep in between every dot?
For creep me. Creep.
Yeah.
She spelled out while gesturing a walking action and pointing to herself, secretly slightly amused by how her mumbling had accidentally rhymed. Her shorter partner nodded far too vigorously and was about to hop over to the drawer until he stopped dead in his tracks as he took a step away from the cauldron. Creep. Oh no.
My clothes came off.
Whoops.
Suddenly, the fact he was painfully aware of the fire pooling in his loins hit the small alchemist like a truck. or a Dodge Caravan.
Pow!
It suddenly got hotter under his mask, and he shifted uncomfortably in his spot. Creep. Mona raised an eyebrow at the flighty, fidgety fellow and scratched her neck absently.
Creep.
Are you well? You've been acting strange all night. Creep. Do you need a break or something? Creep. She inquired.
Creep.
Creep. Creep. See, I can creep. I don't need to coo, but I can creep.
Logan, can you coo creep?
Creep. Creep. Creep.
This is so dumb.
All right, thank you, Val.
You're welcome. Yay, French Canadian was useful.
It only took 9 seasons.
Yay.
No. She inquired, voice full of concern and clear exhaustion. Creep. With a sheepish giggle, Plague Knight somehow managed to stutter out, "Well, you needn't worry about me. My Sharona."
Thank you. I was going to do that joke.
Mona, creep. I'm fine, creep. Fine and dandy, creep. Same as
always.
This is
a weird verbal tic that you have.
Creep. No problem, creep. Although impossible to see with that mask on, sweat poured down the alchemist's forehead as he smartly positioned himself behind the cauldron so his boner would be out of his partner's slash crush's field of vision. Creep. I'll go ahead and get that cat's eye for you. Creep.
Creep.
Okay. Creep.
He's sticking with this.
Yeah.
Mona responded, a puzzled expression written all over her face, but she decided not to pay much more mind to Plague Knight's sudden odd behavior. He was quite unpredictable after all. You never really do know what the guy will do next. Creep. Hopping awkwardly towards the sea drawer and trying to ignore the raging hard-on straining against his tights, he pulled open and browsed the filing cabinet-like drawer erratically until he found the cat's eye Mona needed. Silently, he thanked the gods and whatever insane architect had set up the sea drawer so it would be directly out of Mona's line of sight, shielding her eyes from the scarring image of the outline of the weird little birdman's erection under his tunic.
All right, Val, you're up. Creep.
Retrieving the item he was sent to look for, he handed it over to his partner in alchemy, who thanked him briefly, and he slided over to a spot directly across from her. But there was... Bless you. But there was still an issue at hand. Or, I guess it was about to be at hand. Literally. Well, not quite. So Plague Knight was about to excuse himself to the little plague doctor's room when Mona interrupted him with something that changed the whole situation. Mona, I'm gonna...
I need you to stay here while I mix these in case something goes wrong.
Go to the... What?
The Brinman's blood ran cold. He stared at her and blinked, dumbfounded.
Stay here? With Mona? With a
boner?
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 Oh, dear gods.
It's an extremely delicate process that could malfunction incredibly
easily. Oh, man, I have a lot of italics. Am I supposed to be like last time? Like...
Oh, yeah, that is a persistent rule.
Incredibly
easy. So I need you to be ready if I mess it up, okay? The alchemist explained herself slowly, gesturing to the cauldron and to the pile of ingredients right next to her, noticing that her partner wasn't really entirely there.
Can you do that for me, Plaguey?
Thoughts raced in and out of Plague Knight's head as he pondered the options available to him. If he left to jerk off, he would be satisfied, but risk the chance of another chemical catastrophe occurring in his absence. Though the blue-haired alchemist getting hurt due to his negligence would arguably be the bigger catastrophe. However, if he stayed to guard Mona, she'd be safe from any harm under his watch and he'd probably keep her trust for it, but he'd end up with a horrific case of blue balls. Oh, come on, that would be that bad. Or would he?
You said would.
Could he possibly able to pull... that off?
Yeah, he'll pull his penis right off.
Yeah.
Rip.
Yeah, rip creep. to be honest, I doubt you would mess it up since you're so amazed. what I'm trying to say is,
Will you?
Wilma!
We all have all night, you know!
Mona snapped impatiently, startling, playing night with her sudden sharp moan, but then sighing in defeated way. What's gotten into you tonight?
You're
the one who wanted to make this potion, after all. Shouldn't you paying more attention to it?
You be paying.
Yeah, shouldn't you be paying more attention to it? She pointed out. What do you even need an enlarged...
Fine, I'll stay.
Sorry. I'm just, I can help. Of course. I suppose I can. An awkward pause. You cough nervously.
No. Leave what? Time for the awkward pause.
Oh, I thought you were going to add it in.
You're
so good at awkward pauses.
All right, fine. I'll just imagine me saying something not funny here.
Okay, imagine.
That's not hard. That's not a stretch of the imagination.
Yes, but you guys are talking. That normally doesn't happen after I say something awkward.
Yeah, because it's easier to edit out if we don't talk.
You're making this not work!
We're just trying to make it easy on you, buddy.
You're not, Val. All right, Val, just forget I even tried.
It's okay.
We will.
You can get some cake later to feel better. He coughed nervously to break the tension a bit. He could feel Mona's confused gaze scrutinizing him, trying to figure out what his deal was, but giving him and switching her attention to the vital vitriol in the cauldron before her. The awkwardness turned into concentration-fueled silence as Mona focused on following the brewing procedure to a T, not risking a single moment by glancing away from the textbook or the ingredients. The blue-haired hookeress, ultimately seemed satisfied with their compromise. But her partner was brewing things of his own in his devious head.
I think it's me next. Yeah, it is me next. Before now, it had never crossed Plague Knight's mind to secretly jack himself off only feet away from his crush, with her having no clue whatsoever.
That's really rude.
What, to be jerking off to somebody nearby?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's fine. I just needed clarification. Like, I'm not objecting to it. I just want to know what's really rude. If you're secretly jacking off to somebody nearby, that's the problem. If you're openly jacking off and have consent, that's fine. But secretly jacking off? Not so good.
No, you need the consent.
Yeah.
You also need the consonants.
Yes, that such an event was occurring. And there's absolutely a very good reason for that.
No.
As ridiculous and creepy and disgusting as such a situation is, though, he couldn't help but be curious about what the result would be like if he managed to do it. Well, you're going to walk around sticky for a bit, and it's not going to be very pleasant, because it's probably going to tug a bunch of hairs off your thigh.
Did you guys know any kids who did that and, like, got caught doing it in high school?
No.
What, jerking it?
Yeah, you know, the weirdo with the makeshift hoodie, where they could stick their hand in through the hoodie pocket and jerk themselves off.
Nobody had that, because everyone had decency, and they could just go to the bathroom and jack it off.
Well, maybe in a Canadian.
Yes, in a Canadian.
Are you ready for another embarrassing Steve-O story?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. At some point, I slept over a friend's house, and I got up before him the next morning. I went downstairs, and I was playing N64 and got really bored. So I ended up just jerking off, like, fully clothed, pajamas in, right there. And I didn't have a chance to go upstairs and clean up because he woke up just as I finished.
So...
He didn't notice. I just had to sit there, moist, and then it got crusty.
That's your fault. You should have done that in the bathroom.
It absolutely was my fault. I was like 13 years old.
Oh, yeah. 13-year-old people are dumb.
Were you jerking off to Kirby?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't jerking off to anything. I was jerking off to my imagination.
Yeah, you were playing Smash. You're like, ooh.
This was before Smash came out.
Yeah.
Ooh. Fucking, I don't even, what came out before Smash?
Natalia from GoldenEye.
Yes, I was masturbating to Star Fox fucking pre-Crystal.
Ooh, Samus, I wonder if that character is a girl.
He was masturbating to, like, Mario 64 when he, like, talking to Toad.
I was masturbating to War Gods.
Oh, no, no, It was such a terrible game. Oh, no.
It was really...
I got one even better. Biofreaks.
Oh, no.
Or Clay Fighter 63 and a third.
All right, now you're giving me permanently zero libido. I'm going to go back to reading.
Oh, that's not good because we still need to have kids.
I know we do. Cool. After all, it's a scientist's duty to experiment every once in a while.
It's now or never.
The bird-masked alchemist thought to himself frantically with a quiet
hee
as he ever so slightly lifted his tunic and clumsily slipped a clawed hand under the waistband of his tights.
Oof.
Trying his hardest to keep his breath steady and not give himself away, Plague Knight pointed his beak in Mona's direction, almost as if he was actually paying attention, and grasped his less-than-average-sized dick, closing his eyes and using all of his willpower to hold his breath and not make any stupid, unnatural noises as the inside of his mask grew even hotter. Creep. As he began to jerk off, sending tremors throughout his body, both from pressure and...
Pressure?
Let me try it again. Both from pleasure and trying to repress his physical actions, God damn... Shut up! You got me thinking about Biofreaks. Now I just really want to masturbate. Thanks, Val.
All right. That's weird.
I mean, you can have sex with me afterwards.
Val, can you dress like a Biofreak? That's the only way I can impregnate you.
Okay, I'll dress as Anubis.
Yeah, that's not terrible. Where was I? The short alchemist's mind began to wander places he'd absolutely tried to avoid before. Horrible places. Disgusting. Lewd, lecherous places that a decidedly more conscious Plague Knight would have absolutely abhorred.
At an Applebee's.
Oh no, lifetime pasta at Olive Garden. Even considering the potential existence of. The worst part was that the guinea pig of all this repressed desire was Mona herself. The other alchemist standing very few feet away, completely unaware of what the hell was happening right under her nose. If somebody's masturbating under your nose, I think you'd know about it.
Well, literally, yeah. Unless you're sleeping.
Somehow, the concept of her being right there, oblivious to what was going on right in front of her, made that bird-masked creep feel all the more dirtier and hornier about it.
Okay, so he's into exhibitionism.
Yes, but private exhibitionism. Unknown exhibitionism.
Yeah, that's the thrill of it. Exhibitionism is about...
As someone who so avoided becoming a slave to lust in such a way, the irony was almost palpable. A mocking giggle welled up in Plague Knight's throat, but letting it go would surely be a grave mistake. So he just sucked it up. Then he had an even worse idea. If he was gonna decide be this creepy in front of the girl he loves without her knowing to this degree, then why the hell not go the whole nine yards? Slowly opening his eyes back up, his gaze locked back onto Mona, hoping she hadn't noticed a thing. Thankfully, her concentration was set on safely finishing putting the last ingredients into the sinister brew. The infamous cat's eye was all that was left. So Plague Knight decided to speed things up a bit, as positively smutty and revolting as it felt. And next up is Logan again.
All right.
Yeah, you get to finish this off. Make it quick.
No, I'm going to make it agonizing for you.
Just coo to me the whole time.
All right. You asked for it.
Ah, fuck.
Sounds like you're gargling water.
Yeah.
No. I can do all this with just my mouth.
I'm gonna need to be able to understand the words.
Well, if you listen carefully. Hang on, I'll remove my pop filter so I can get a little closer to the mic.
No, this is gonna be even worse. The bird masked feathered skin pento, and then I just lost it.
Oh, super vox.
Hurdy dirty gurp. Can you go back to the beginning and not do that? I rescind my request.
You're clipping so much.
Yes. Yeah. Asshole.
Shouldn't ask for things you don't want, Steve.
Should I ask for things that I do want?
Yes.
Yes, like unlimited pasta pass.
Okay, I do want you to not do that again.
Too bad. Gradually quickening the pace of his left hand, the bird-masked pervert scanned her entire body as she worked. Those soft blue locks, her plump face, her adorable pout, those determined eyes, her chest, her bare neck, her hunched shoulders, everything within his line of sight that he could take in just before reaching his limit over such a beautiful, perfect specimen.
You know, I guess considering Plague Knight wears like one of those Victorian plague masks, I'm not surprised that he gets off on Victorian era eroticism. Oh my god, her neck is showing!
Oh, ankles!
Her wrists!
Oh god, there's a hint of wrist in there!
At last, shudders racked the alchemist's body from head to toe and he tensed up as his nuts spattered all over the inside of his tights and his hand. Just as soon as it began, it was over.
Fomp fomp.
With only a single strangled cackle that had managed to escape him, it was quite the sticky situation indeed. He managed to ponder that horrendous pun humorously in the haze of his own climax. Through his dulled senses, he was barely able to catch what Mona had said right after, but the next part was clear enough. Watching out for me while I put in those ingredients. I think we should probably leave this for tomorrow, though. She let out an adorable little yawn and rubbed her eyes, continuing. You don't need it immediately, do you? We both really need to get some shut-eye.
Cat's eye? Shut-eye.
I hate you. I hate you so much.
No, you don't.
He gulped. Before the shorter alchemist could add anything, though, she walked over and kissed him on the forehead as softly and gracefully as a very tired hummingbird. See you tomorrow, Plaguey, she whispered before slinking off into the shadows, leaving actual rose petals in her wake somehow. Rest assured, Plaguey was quite baffled that she hadn't noticed the very obvious cum stains all over his tights, but he felt grateful for it nonetheless.
Hey! Yay, we're done! Yay!
I had a joke, but I forgot it by the time he finished his sentence.
Aw, it's okay. Hopefully it'll come back to you and I can record it in post and then ruin it even more in post.
Sure. That's where we get the awkward silence.
Exactly.
Woo!
Before I read the patron list, I would like to say that we have added another tier to our Patreon. There is a $10 tier, and by getting to $10, you now get exclusive access to our Google Drive, the actual files that we use for reading and planning episodes and everything else that we have minus the project files. So that's $10 to become a Bulgate beneficiary. And we already have a couple people at the $10 tier who, if they want to transfer over to that and get the extra benefits, by all means do so. We've also added an extra $200 stretch goal in order to get a fifth episode out every month. Even on breaks, we'll be doing an episode, just the core five, and what we read will be voted on by all of our patrons. So, thank you very much to all of our patrons, especially our genital guardians, a really smart pygmy owl, Afrohawk, Alexander Grass Dragon Corbett, Andre D, Disambiguity, Discuss, Dizdom Plays, Epidel, Evan Balmel, Matthew J, Michael Fouch, Miri, Pope Sloth XVII, Read to Me Beard Daddy, Richard Pryor, Rose, Sarah for the win, Steve-O, you don't have to yell. Steve-O, comma, you don't have to yell.
Steve-O, you don't have to yell.
The Waffle.
Steve-O, you don't have to yell.
Wade and Yaloy. Yes, I do.
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Friday Night Fanfiction. Be sure to check out FridayNightFanfiction.com, where you can sign up to be a guest on the show, submit fanfictions for us to read, and join our Discord server to hang out with us. All backing music used in Friday Night Fanfiction is available via Overclocked Remix at ocremix.org. Be sure to check them out for over 3,000 fan arrangements and 60 fan arrangement albums of free video game music. Ending credits music, Koopa Nova by Diodes. Opening musical credits. Nutritious. Castles in the Sand. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you next episode.